need one another's prayers, don't we?
That is for sure.
A few years ago, I was going through a very rough time, and I was up till like 3 in the morning, sitting at the keyboard, and asking the Lord to give me a new song. And He gave me this little chorus, and I'm going to try to sing it. It's pretty early in the morning for my voice, and give it a try. It's called Father, As I Come to You.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I have a little better understanding now. On occasion, I'll call David up and our chairman of our worship committee, and I'll tell him, I said, well, David, I'm not going to be there this Sunday. I make it here most every Sunday, but he says, well, you know, Reverend Bill, Pastor Bill, you ought to take off more time. You know, and so usually when I'm off, it's either Reverend Dr. Burton from First Church or Reverend Barbara that fills in. So now I know why David's so enthusiastic when I take a day off. Thank you so much for coming today. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm actually going to read from verse 10 in chapter 3 to verse 5 in chapter 4. Hear now the word of our Lord. You, however, know all my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, he's speaking to Timothy here, continue in what you have learned, and he's speaking to you and me, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful attention. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All Scripture is God-breathed. How many of you know the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God? I'm not going to ask you to sing that a cappella right now. You recall when we were reading the excerpts from the Catechism, we talked about Adam and Eve. And don't you remember reading in the book of Genesis where God breathed the breath of life into Adam? The breath of God is life. Scripture says, now you've been observing my teaching. This is Paul talking about his life. Now you've observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and suffering the things that happened to me. Don't you remember when Paul, I think it was, he came out of Lystra. He was in Lystra. They stoned him and drug him out and left him outside for dead outside the city. And his associates came, and Barnabas came and stood over him, and Paul got up, shook off his clothes, and walked back in the city to preach the word. But what persecutions? I don't know that I've ever been persecuted for my belief in Jesus Christ. Or maybe. Sometimes the persecutions that we face may not seem much more than a slight or hurt. Because you walk away when someone starts to tell a off-colored story, or talk about things that we ought not to talk about, and you walk away, they avoid your company. You don't get invited to the parties you used to get invited to. You know, as Christians, if we're not ever left out, if we're not ever slighted, if we're not ever made fun of, it could be because we're not being the light that Jesus called us to be in the community. You know, when a light is shown, when you turn a board over and expose the underside of the board to life, all the creepy crawly things go and seek darkness again. And if we are to be the light that makes people aware of that darkness, we become a little less popular in some circles. The day may come, Lord only knows, I pray it does not, in this country, but in other countries today, Christians are being persecuted. Christians are being killed. This past week, Christian homes were burnt. Christian businesses were burnt in the Middle East, in both Iraq and in Syria. Maybe other places. Persecution of Christians is real. At a local community college, right across the line in Virginia, a student read a paper to the class. And she said, and she mentioned in her paper, she said, just as it's written in the Bible, is what she said. She made a statement, I don't recall, they didn't tell me what the statement was, but she said, just as it's written in the Bible, and went on with her statement. After she got ready to leave the room, the professor called her in and said, don't you ever do that again in this class. And she said, do what? She said, don't you ever say anything about the Bible in this class. Don't you ever include that. The student went to the dean, and the dean said, well, we have very little control over what the teachers teach and what they do in their class, but I will talk to them. So, and the teacher came up the next day and said, I apologize. I did not mean to deprive you of your right to free speech. No apology and in the same class, another student in that class frequently mentioned the Quran. A lot of times that seems quite unfair. But I think it's to be expected that the Quran does not offend nearly as many people as the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the breathed Word of God. And it will offend. But Paul says that we are to persevere. One of the ways he said that we are to persevere is something that you will recall is written over and over again in the Psalms of David. How does David refer to God putting up with his people who never seem to get it, never seem to obey? David refers to God as long-suffering. And Paul has used the same word here and told Timothy to be long-suffering. That is to have patience, have unending patience. You know, we go and we try to share the Word of God. We invite somebody to come to us to church or to Bible study. We sit down and talk to them about their faith. And we want a changed person like that. We want them to change. Okay, you've heard the Word. I told you about Jesus. It's time to get on your knees and change your life. As I told you before, it tells us elsewhere in Scripture that we are to plant the seed. You remember, Paul said that I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. A farmer plants a seed, he doesn't sit down after he plants the seed in his chair and says, okay, come up, sprout, I want to see you. The plants come up in God's time. The plants come up in season. People come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in God's time. If you recall when we did our long study on Acts, again and again, Paul and Barnabas went from city to city. And the result was almost the same every time. They would get escorted out of the city, frightened out of the city, run out of the city, or dragged out of the city. Yet, some years later, when Paul returned on his second mission, there were flourishing churches of Christ in these cities. Paul planted. He planted the seed. He was long-suffering. God brought the increase. I meant to bring a Bible with me this morning. I went off and left it. And I hadn't really thought about this Bible for a long time. But my sister, who's about 8 years older than I am, she's really old, came to visit, she and her husband came to visit recently, and she was talking about our childhood and things. And my sister at the time, we went to a little Methodist country church, and she was in the Methodist Youth Fellowship, the MYF. And she was real active in that. And when I was 10, she gave me a Bible. And it's a beautiful Bible with pictures of Jesus on the outside. And it's in multicolors. And, you know, in 1960, that was a big deal. And she gave that to me. And so my wife Debbie pulled it off the shelf when she was there. And she said, you know, Bill still has this Bible that you gave him. Now, my sister, shortly after giving me that Bible when she was 18, she met her husband, the man who became her husband, and has hardly ever darkened the door of a church since then. He was a rebellious son of a lady preacher. So, and except when they went to visit his mother, when he always went to church when he went to visit his mother, they hardly ever went. And I was thinking about that Bible this week. I was looking at it because my sister got I wasn't there when Debbie showed it to him, but she said, your sister, just tears welled up in her eyes when she saw that. She said, I don't remember giving him that Bible. I don't know why I would have given him that Bible. He must have wanted it. Well, see, I know why she gave me that Bible. If she hadn't given me that Bible, I wouldn't have put all the little marks in the Bible where I read it and messed the pages up on it and everything and underlined stuff over the years. And because I used that Bible until people started laughing at me for carrying a Bible with all these little kids' pictures on the outside. But it was just a regular Bible. She gave me that Bible so that I would be prepared to talk to her about her faith, to talk to her about the love of Jesus Christ in this day as I do, and as I continue to do, as I have been doing for years. The Holy Spirit is always, always at work. And here, Paul is preparing Timothy for his work. And Paul chose his words very carefully in this, you can tell. And the reason Paul chose his words is he said, Paul was writing this from prison, and he said, my life is poured out. Paul knew that his death was near. So Paul was telling Timothy, who he called like a son, he was telling Timothy what he needed to do to carry on, because Paul would not be there to encourage him, to nurture him. And so Paul wanted to depart from Timothy, knowing that Timothy had all that he could give him to equip him for his work. And so the words that Paul gave him were very, very important. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, correction, training, and righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped in every good work. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in God's Word. When you open the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, there is words that apply to your life today, right now. The Holy Spirit is here to help us understand that word. You only understand the word of God if you read the word and spend time in the word. Having this book on a shelf or by your bedside or on your coffee table so it looks good when company comes does not provide you with the nourishment that the Word gives. And it says that all Scripture is inspired by God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to spend time studying the Word of God, dwelling on the Word of God. We need to understand that word in context that is given. Never ever get into the habit of reading one or two verses and understanding it. The lectionary gave us the scripture today, but I knew that I couldn't understand it if I didn't go back and read the scripture before that. If you ever have scripture that you read and it doesn't make sense, read more. Read before it. Read after. Read the references to that scripture. The Bible is always interpreted by the Bible. But you know what? Even then you won't get it. I wouldn't get it. The only way that I can ever know this word that Paul talks about that is infallible and is given by God, is breathed by God. This word that gives us life, just as it gave Adam life when he breathed life into Adam. The only way that I can understand this word is by asking the Holy Spirit to show me how this word applies to my life, how this word will get me through this situation, how this word is meant for me. And I can tell you that if you do that, you will understand the word personally. Because it's very important to know that we do not worship an impersonal God. We worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who knows you, who knows me personally. The three persons of God, the Trinity, is not three Oz's behind a curtain. The Trinity is a personal Lord and Savior who dwells in your soul and will interpret the Scripture for you and show you how it applies to your life right now. It is not intended to be Scripture that applied to Moses thousands of years ago. The words spoken by Moses apply to you today, now. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away into myths. So many people, when you invite them to come and join you in church and join you in worship, say, you know, I don't need to be in church. I watch so-and-so on television and I read my Bible every Sunday, and that's what I need. That's good for me. But we are told that when three or more gather together in His name, He is there with us. We are told we are to gather. When the disciples gather together on the day after the day of Pentecost, they gathered together each day. They nurtured each other. They gave to each other. They shared with each other. And we are to be the family of God, not the distant cousin. We are to be the family of God. We are to look out for one another and to teach each other and to support each other in their faith. When we baptize somebody into the church and bring them into the church as a member, when they are baptized, if they've already been baptized, we don't baptize them again. But when we bring somebody into the church as a member, or we baptize them, or we baptize a baby, we only do so in one way. We do this asking the congregation to promise. Asking the congregation if they agree, if they will, if they promise to nurture and teach and support this person in their walk of faith, in their life. We are to teach them. What are we to teach them? We don't teach them mathematics. We don't teach them how to cook. We teach them the Word of God. We share with them the Word, the breath of God, the breath of life. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time receiving the breath of life. Spend time in prayer and meditation, seeking God to show you His will, to show you what His words mean to you right now. In Jesus' name, Amen.